Church, as you take your seat, I want you to listen to these words from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Anybody up for a good fishing trip? Oh, whether you find yourself at the East Venue, the West Venue, or our online venue, can we all be invited into a boat? And let's do a little fishing this morning. We're jumping into a new series, New Redeems Our Story. And a part of this series is, hey, we've come out of saying, hey, God wants to write a new lyric on our heart. He wants to give us a new song to sing. Now, what do we do with that song? And I want to introduce you to this word that we find in ancient Greek fine arts. It's this simple word called mimesis. You probably already have a love-hate relationship with this word, and you don't even probably use this word in your everyday vocabulary. But if you're a parent, you know the struggle. You know when you live life, and then all of a sudden, out of littler lives than yours, comes the behaviors and the words that you use, and they don't seem as appropriate coming from our little ones. If you lead in the workplace, you know the tension of this. When you want people to do as you say, not as you do. There's this problem. The word mimesis is simply to imitate or to mime. They would use it in the fine arts community back in the ancient Greeks to help people know this is what we need you to do. And you probably love this concept when you're trying to learn something new. When you have a mentor in life that is gifted and good and trying to teach you a skill, a habit, a way of living, you like this. And those of us raising kids, we like it when our kids get it right and somebody's able to say they learned that from their parents. We didn't have to teach it. It just was who they were. As we walk into this New Redeems Our Story, I want us to think through our lives. This is really a series about how you once were, and now in Christ, you will continue to become. You've all been there, right? Where you look at your past and you go, there's some things I would leave behind if I could. Many of us, there's whole seasons of our life that we wish we could never bring back, and God doesn't waste those times in our life. Matter of fact, his call is, I want to redeem those times that I might use you in the future in a healthier capacity. So I once was turns into I now am and am becoming. Let's jump into this new Redeems Our Story series. Jump in your Bibles to John chapter 21. If you've got a journal and been following along, it's page 120 there. You've heard the text. You know what's happening is that Jesus is appearing to his disciples and is they seem to be out fishing. But as we put some pieces together, this is one of those texts where if you don't look at the big picture, you might miss what's actually happening here. If you remember, Jesus invited us into a divine dance from the very beginning. He says, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have for all eternity been working together in harmony, and it is a divine song that they are laying before us, and they invite us into that dance. And that dance turns to missional theosis, meaning we live on purpose for a purpose, that God didn't just leave us here. He gifted us with a redeemed life that we might move his kingdom forward. It's an invitation. Well, the whole book of John doesn't try to divide that. It tries to say we are both in Christ and we are to be demonstrating Christ. Think of it in these terms. Jesus was the ultimate missionary. Jesus stepped out of all of eternity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He stepped out of the kingdom of God eternal, and he stepped into the kingdom of this earth. And while he was among his people, what did he do? He imitated what he knew about the kingdom of God. And so we follow Jesus in that. But Jesus then turns around and says, as I have taught you the things of the kingdom, now I want you to imitate and teach others the things of the kingdom. So that's kind of the backstory of the book of John. But all of a sudden, at the end of chapter 20, the gospel writer John ends the book. He ends it with the very purpose that he wrote it. He said, I wrote this book that everyone who would read and experience Jesus would come to have life in Christ, that you would believe and it would transform you. Well, that's the ending. The problem is there's more to be read as you look at the gospel of John. It goes on to chapter 21. So he ends it, but he doesn't end it. What he does at the second ending is really significant to you and I finding out our role in the mission of God. Let's look at the text. Verse 1, it says, Jesus revealed himself again. He goes on and says, Jesus revealed himself in this way. Well, three times he's going to reveal himself in chapter 20. He reveals himself to Mary after he's resurrected out of the tomb. He reveals himself to the disciples, only Thomas isn't there. And so Thomas has questions, so Jesus turns right around and reveals himself to Thomas. And then in chapter 21, it says Jesus reveals himself again. So the disciples have now collectively seen him three times. Every one of these passages, all four of those passages where Jesus revealed himself to those three people groups, there's a similar statement, my God and my Savior. He is the Lord. They affirm Jesus' identity, and they make sure that people know who he is. My guess is you've been there. You have said, I know the identity of Jesus, and I want to follow him. He is my Lord and my Savior. If not, you're wrestling through, is he going to be your Lord and your Savior? Well, they clearly know this is their Lord and Savior, but here comes the real tensions of life. We go on in the text, look at it in verse 3. Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. Amidst all that's going on in the world right now, a fishing trip sounds pretty good, doesn't it? The reality is that John doesn't, and Peter, they're not talking about a fishing trip. They're not going on vacation here. Let me remind you who these guys are, right? If you remember back to John chapter 1, if you were to flip over to another spot in Matthew chapter 4, you would see that these disciples had been called out of something to follow Jesus. What were they called out of? Well, they were called out of their trade, fishing. These guys weren't going on a vacation trip. This is what they had always known was fishing. They grew up on the lake trying to catch stuff, and they had learned how to do this from their fathers and their grandfathers. And so now all of a sudden, let me remind us where we're at. Jesus, this guy who chose to be a missionary from heaven down to earth, lives a perfect life. He calls the disciples in to follow him. They're like, yes, he's going to set up a tangible kingdom. I want to follow Jesus. Jesus says, I'm not interested in an earthly kingdom. He says, I'm here for eternal purposes, to show you the kingdom of God. He then goes to the cross and he dies on the behalf of all the world's sin. And everybody's crushed. These disciples who had given up their trade to follow Jesus is, well, now there's no king to our kingdom. Jesus is in the tomb for a few days. Those were very dark days. Everything had been ruined. But then all of a sudden, Jesus is resurrected. And there seems to be victory on the horizon. But the tension is that Jesus doesn't then just turn right around and set up an earthly kingdom. He says, no. Remember, I am here for the kingdom of God. I am a missionary, not from here, but from heaven, to reveal to you what the real purpose of life is, why you're created, and why you're called to do what you do. And so Jesus is making these post-resurrection appearances to the disciples. And it's like he's there, but he's not there the way he used to be there. You feel that way? You know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and yet when you get into day-to-day living, it doesn't seem crystal clear on what to do with your life in a way that reveals the redemptive narrative God is telling. That's the tension. And so Peter says, I don't know what to do as a follower of Jesus. I'm going fishing. Not on a vacation trip. I'm going back to who I once was because I know that life. And he invites some of the disciples, and six of the disciples say, well, we're going with you. The text goes on in verse 3. It says they were alone all night and they caught nothing. The doctor in Luke, he writes in his gospel, if you want to look it up later, it's chapter 5, verse 4 through 7. He gives more details. That's just who Luke is. And so he gives more details. And Luke says they were alone all night and they caught nothing. I'm going to try to connect some dots for us, though, this morning, because you could read over this and miss it if you don't put it all into context. Because Jesus says in verse 5, Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? No. These guys aren't children. They're adults who have walked with Jesus. They're his disciples. He has invested his very life work in them. And when he sees them out fishing, he steps up from the shore and says, children, what are you doing? Remember who children are. Children have no status at this time in history. To call somebody a child is to say, you need to grow up in your thinking. You need to grow up in the way that you live. You children have walked away from the things that I've taught you, the things I've called you to, and you've went back to the former way of living. This is not redemptive fishing that you're doing. This is just trying to get through life. And he says, did you catch anything? So they were alone, which is important to know that. They were alone fishing. Jesus calls them out as children, ignorant, not doing the things they should be doing. And then he turns around at the end of verse 6, and he says, I'm here. Now, don't stop what you're doing. He doesn't say fishing's bad, that what you used to do in life was bad. He says, no, you're going to fish a different way. And he simply, the writer tells us, says, cast the nets on the other side, that there's another way of living. And so they cast their net on the other side under the presence of Jesus, and what happens? Their nets are full. 153 fish, to be exact. The author would tell us it was so full that they were shocked that the nets didn't rip. This isn't a matter of Jesus provides abundance for all of you. This isn't the health wealth gospel conversation we're in. This is a matter of they were once confused in how to follow Jesus, and they were alone in the way they were living, alone in the way they were walking through life. And the presence of Jesus when invited into what they were doing, it changed everything. And I have to ask us the question, how are we living? You see, Jesus gifted you with a new identity, a transformational identity. You once were completely lost, and now in Christ you have been saved, but you haven't just been saved, you've been saved for something. And whatever that something is, it's a redemptive narrative that God wants to use to continue to transform people, to continue to help people see the kingdom of heaven. He sent Jesus as a missionary to us. And he wants to make sure that we continue to imitate him as a missionary. The text goes on in verses 7 through 8. John says to Peter, he affirms Jesus' identity. He says, he is the Lord. And this is almost comical. Peter, in the boat with the other disciples, he throws himself overboard and starts swimming to shore. Some texts actually say that Peter was naked and he had to clothe himself. I don't fish naked. There's too many hooks involved. But the reality is that Peter is completely, at least stripped down to his work clothes. And it says he puts on his cloak. Most of us take clothes off to swim. I guess when you're going to meet Jesus, you put clothes on, and he throws himself overboard to start swimming toward Jesus. Can I remind you who Peter is? Peter's the same guy that met Jesus when Jesus was walking on water. And Jesus calls Peter out of the boat, and he steps out of the boat, and he for a second walks on water until he loses sight of Jesus. Here's a clue. Peter knows. Peter knows he's not on just some fishing trip. He knows that he has lost his call, that he's just going back to work, that he's not into the presence of Jesus. And you know what? I'm just going to throw myself overboard because I know if I sank the last time, I'm definitely sinking this time. I just got to get straight back to the shore where Jesus is. And so Peter throws himself over and Michael Phelps style swims the 100 yards to be with Jesus. Some people take a more logical approach to this. It says the rest of the disciples, they wanted to salvage the boat. And you remember all those fish that they had caught? They decided they would keep those too. And the text tells us that they brought the boat and the fish to shore. But whichever way you're going to go find Jesus and discover your mission, the key is you have to get to the shore. You have to be in the presence of Jesus if you want to live on mission. But then something interesting happens. Look at verses 9 through 13. I'm just going to give you a quick overview. It says, Jesus has a casual breakfast with his disciples. He throws some charcoal on the grill. They meet up. He has some fish. He has some bread. He invites them to use some of the fish they just caught. And they meet together. But then something weird happens at breakfast. It's in verse 12. It says, now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Why would the writer of John put this in there? If you were sitting with somebody that you had lived for 3 years with, you would not need that. You would know who this guy is. But it appears that Jesus didn't show up for breakfast in the same form that he walked with them the rest of his ministry life. It's like we know by the voice, we know by the character, the nature of this, that this is Jesus, but the appearance is different. Can I suggest that in our lives, Jesus appears? He is my God and my Savior. He is your Lord. But he's not going to appear in everyday life circumstances the exact same way. You're going to have to know him. You're going to have to know his presence. You're going to have to know his character. And it is then when you're sitting at breakfast that you will be like, the Lord is here. It will be then when you're at work where you will say, the Lord is here. It will be then when you're out in your hobbies that you will say, I know the nature of God and Jesus is here. The writer in John goes on in verse 14 and he says, this is the third time that Jesus revealed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. They like threes, Peter and John do. And you remember, Peter denies Jesus three times and then he recognizes Jesus' lordship in his life. We see three appearances here. And I would encourage you this week to read all of chapter 21 because verses 15 through 19 are incredibly powerful. It says there's three questions asked of Peter. And these would make sense. They're very familiar passages that you've probably heard, but I wanted to put it into some context. You remember when Peter and Jesus have a heated conversation about his life call? Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes. Jesus says, do you love me? Peter says, of course I do. Jesus says, do you love me, Peter? And Peter gets mad and says, you know that I love you. No, Jesus knows the Peter who once was, who when Jesus wasn't there in a way that he felt him, he went fishing again. And so they're having a heated conversation because, Peter, you were called to live on mission. I came to be a missionary to you, and I have sent you to be a missionary to the people that people might know, that they might get to imitate, that they might get to mime the kingdom of God. And it's not always as tangible as you would like it, Peter, but I am your Savior and your God, and I will guide you. And that same call is on our life. If Jesus is at work in your life, then he's redeeming your story that you could live on mission. And you may be asking yourself, well, what does that look like? And so we're going to spend the next 3 weeks as we walk through this series. I just want to give you an overview to be thinking about and praying about. Chuck's going to be up next week, and he's going to say that there's, in Christ, as he redeems your story, there's a new solution. There's a new way to go about living. Keith's going to be up the week after that saying there's a new source. Part of what happened to Peter and the disciples is they forgot the source in which they worked, played, and lived. And then Scott, who oversees our serve ministry here on staff, he's going to come up and share with us the last week that there's a new prayer, the most intimate prayer in all of Scripture, that when we get invited to pray it with Jesus, it has the power to move us in the way that we live. You see, new is redeeming our story. And as it redeems our story, it is a call to imitate who Jesus is and to live as a missionary the way Jesus was a missionary from the kingdom of God to us. And we, like Peter and the disciples, we get mission drift. And so every week we gather to be reminded who my God and my Savior is and then to declare our allegiance in a way that says I'm going to go live out of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so grab your communion. If you're with us on site, you're going to see a clear top. Peel that one back first. If you're at home, grab your cracker or whatever you're using. And we're going to take this wafer, and we're going to be reminded of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, who chose to be a missionary that we might know the nature of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We eat of that together. And you can peel back that foil. And we're going to lift together the juice and be reminded that this is our lifeblood, that in Christ we receive life and are called to be the light of the world. Not in what we do, but in what he is doing in us that we merely reveal or allow him to reveal to others. We drink in celebration. Father, thank you for never losing sight of who you are and for never losing sight of your people who often forget who you are. Father, we thank you that you would choose Jesus and that Jesus would humbly be willing to give up the things of the kingdom of heaven to come be a missionary to us and dwell among us and live among us redemptively. Father, thank you for giving your Holy Spirit to indwell us in a way that allows us to move from I once was lost, but now in Christ I am being found and I am living out the mission that you placed on our life. So, Father, thank you for who Jesus is, the redemptive narrative that you're telling. Help us to embrace our role as a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen.